Laura Wilson. Today is April 24th, 1995, and I'm talking to Grandma about her father, Anton Larson. And
when Dad came up here, first of all, she
let me just ask you, where was Anton Larson born?
Trillium, I didn't know he was born in Trillium, Norway.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about his family?
His mother was from North, she was a Laplander from North Martha. His mother was Martha Laplander from North Norway.
How about his father? Do you know anything about his father?
Lana knows about that. Lana's, his father was, I don't know where he was born, some other place, not in Trillium.
Okay.
She knows where he was born.
Did he have a lot of brothers and sisters?
Oh yeah, he was the youngest one. I was 16 in their family.
16 kids?
My grandpa had 16 children.
Wow.
8 girls and 8 boys.
And Anton was the youngest.
He was the youngest from the fall town.
Wow.
Is that recording now? By the way, he came up here when he was working in some kind of, he was working in San Francisco somewhere on some boat, and then, his brother, Martin Larson, came here in 1884. And he got married to a lady from Carlock.
Martin did?
Yeah.
Martin came up first.
Yeah, in 1884.
Huh.
The dad wanted to go and see, which is, was married next to the youngest, you know. And dad came up here in 1887.
Uh-huh. Why? Why?
To be with his brother too.
Huh.
And then he wanted to get married, and he got married in Helsinki.
Who did he marry?
Jenny Kestrikow.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Larson's.
What did he do for a living when he was here?
He was a captain on the boats.
That was when he first came
yeah,
up?
Yeah, he was always a captain on the boat.
He married Jenny Kestrikow.
And then he built a house in Helsinki and a barn and had cattle there. And his father-in-law traded him for the island, for his house and barn and everything in Helsinki, so he could put his cattle there without fencing or bothering the neighbors.
Oh, so he got to bring his cattle to the
Everything he moved to there.
But it was
his father-in-law, he traded with him.
Uh-huh. Huh. What year was that, do you remember?
I don't know what year it was, but anyway, the early days before I was born.
Yeah.
But Jenny had 4 children with him.
Uh-huh. Jenny Pestikoff.
Uh-huh.
Who were their names?
They were Lawrence and Martha. The two died, and Johnny and Sarah.
Johnny and Sarah
Pestikoff. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And, Sarah drowned by Mel Bay in 1916.
Huh.
February 9th, 1916, on the mail boat. She's going to be a bridesmaid for Jenny, for Ben Craft, at Craft's first store there. In 1904, they got Craft's store built in Kodiak.
Hmm.
I could give you the picture of the Craft store.
You have a picture of that?
Mm-hmm.
I could give you that picture.
A bit later.
1904, the craft store was built there.
Okay.
And that was running the boats between California and Kodiak during the fur.
Oh, during fur trading?
Uh-huh. Well, wherever a man was needed, that's where he was going. But when he first came to Kodiak, was on the boat with a whole bunch of pioneers. Really, the book is named 76.
The 76?
Uh-huh.
Is there a book about that?
I don't know.
Oh. Do you have the book or the book?
Hey, did you say there was a book about that?
There's a book. There's some kind of a book about that.
Huh.
76. Do you have it?
I don't have it.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
You can't learn it because Mrs. Chris Anderson told me when she used to come to visit me.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that your father came on the book named 76 and all these old pioneers, Otto Molly and all this, Albert Carson and all these pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
He came on the boat of 76, and he worked on the boat, but then he had his home in Yuzinki. It took him quite a few years to build a house on the island.
Did he build the house in Yuzinki?
Oh, he had a house and barn and everything, and cattle and gardens and everything. That's why.
In Yuzinki.
Uh-huh.
And did he build the house in Yuzinki?
Yeah, he has it. David Kreshikoff was born in that house.
Same house, huh? Is it still there?
I don't know.
I wonder if it is.
I don't know if Tidal Wave took it out or not.
So he moved over to Yuzinki with Jenny Kreshikoff and the kids.
No, he was, when he got married, he lived there.
Right. And then and then the whole family moved to...
Yeah, to the island after Johnny was born. I don't know whether he was born on the island or Yuzinki, but anyway,
mm-hmm.
He had first four kids with his wife, and then I was born on the island in 1905.
What happened to Jenny Kreshikoff?
She died.
And what happened to the kids?
Well, he had a grandma and grandpa. He left his grandma and grandpa back and forth, you know, Kreshikoff.
Oh, they stayed with the
grandparents. They helped us just like they were our grandparents.
Uh-huh. So you were born in?
On the island.
At 1905.
Uh-huh. But he got married in 1904 to Mama.
To, what was her name?
To Olga Lark.
Olga Lark.
Olga Noma.
Okay.
Uh-huh, 1904. And they had Mama and Papa had four kids.
And what were their names?
Me, Melora, Martha, Lawrence and Mary.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do? Was he still sailing, Anton? Was he still sailing ships?
He was always going back and forth. He worked wherever wherever there was. It was hard to find jobs in the olden days.
Mm-hmm.
He either worked in Valdez, and I think in 1907 he worked in Panama Canal. Mama had her second baby, Martha, and he was working in Panama Canal in 1907 when the yellow fever struck, then they closed the Panama Canal up.
Hmm.
That's where Dad was working.
What was he doing down there?
I don't know what they're doing in
the sailing.
Or whatever they were, that was his job. I'm too young to know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was 1907.
Mm-hmm.
And then he used to work in wherever they had a road commission or stuff. Whatever job there was open, they would go to work, Uncle Martin and him. And they worked for fisheries and for all the canneries, a few canneries. They had to go and work in the wintertime with pilings for driving pilings and working for the company. And they had jobs. And other people, but he's away from home all the time.
I bet.
Uh-huh. Mama left because he never was home.
When did she leave?
1912, when Guinea Cash fell.
And did she take the kids with her?
She took our kids. Her dad didn't come. He left in April, or February or April, go to work in New York. We're running boats for the canneries. And he didn't come home till October. And we were living with Grandma and Grandpa in the Faulkner, in the Revenue.
Oh, so she took you and the kids. She took you and the kids to the Faulkner.
Yeah. But we stayed with Grandma. And then she didn't want Papa to come to the to the house to tell him that the gun is loaded. They're not going home. She's not going to the island. She's going to stay in the Frontenac. Take the kids and go. Don't come near me.
That's what she told him?
Uh-huh.
So he took you, all the kids?
All of us, we went sailing home. And the door was open. Chickens were in the house, in the island. And Papa's white shirts were hanging behind the door. And big trunk with the door was open. Chickens been staying in their in the house.
They moved in, huh?
And we were gone, and then that was in 1912.
We were 7 years old.
Yeah, I was going on seven. I'll be seven in November.
So what happened after Olga left? You guys, the kids, you were there on the farm.
Oh yeah, then the Petrikovs used to come back and forth to us.
The Petrikov kids?
Yeah.
They used to come back and forth, and
Sonia and
the parents used to maybe
They came back and forth. They were just like a mother and dad to us.
Hmm.
Petrikov. And Dad had people coming, cutting haystacks, making haystacks. The barn was built before the house. 60-foot barn. You see that picture?
Tell me a little bit about the farm you had. Tell me what kind of buildings you had and animals and what you did.
Well, when Dad started, he told us that when he first started was to build a barn first. And the old man Petrikov built the barn.
He did?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
With all the people and from Yuzinki.
They all came over to help?
They came over. They had no house, a big house then at that time, but Dad had a small house afterwards. But anyway, this old man Petrikov loved his dad, you know, and anything he could help, and his sons and everything, and all his friends, they all helped Dad. Well, Dad was working on the boat. He never was hardly home, but always had somebody at the island.
Hmm.
Always was somebody there. They were all doing hydro. There's no tools or anything like chainsaws or anything. You file their saws and cut wood. The beaches were so full of wood in those days, you didn't have to cut fairly much wood. You could just pick it up, gunny sacks, and fill up your wood box.
You didn't have to cut it very much?
Much. Some good ones you have to cut up, but there's plenty of wood around. You didn't have to worry about wood. We always had to go down the beach and get a bucket of kindlings or stuff, small stuff.
Even during the winter time?
No, I don't know about winter time. I'm too small to know that stuff, but
yeah.
They have to make their shavings and refrigerating by the stove to light the stove, you know, and everything is shaving. They call it Rostovki. Rostovki for
fire starter?
Yeah.
Rostovki.
Rostovki, yeah. See the little bikes, eh?
Yeah.
Where were they, I wonder?
I haven't an interview.
Uh-huh. Then away.
So what happened? Tell me about the farm. You guys raised what kind of animals?
Well, after Dad had some cows and chickens and geese.
How many cows did you have?
I don't know. We had lots of cows. We had lots of cows.
10, 15.
I don't know, more than that.
More than that.
But anyway, we had lots of cows, and we butchered them. And
what did you do with the cows?
Sold everything you raised, you could sell. You could sell your meat, and you could sell your chickens, and you could sell everything. You could raise vegetables, 5 cents a pound.
What kinds of vegetables did you grow?
We raised onions and carrots and potatoes and rutabagas and kale and cabbages, all kinds of vegetables. And all the in-laws working there, just passing the time away on the island. Coming and hunting, you know, just go off. And that the island had no trees. That cranberry, in the summertime, they came and picked berries. And they cut, shot steel and they hung them up on a high post to get the oil out of the sun. On a hot day, they saved their sea oil to cook stuff with. Well, everything was expensive them days. But Dad always had plenty of food for us, a cellar full of groceries. Everything, every time he came home, he brought all kinds of. And we bought slabs of bacon, smoked salmon. Didn't have to keep it frozen or anything, just hang it up. It stayed there good for, so did the ham. Just hung it on the wall. My Uncle Martin's house, we used that for a storehouse. The little house that is on the picture.
Oh, he lived out there.
When his first wife was.
This is with Uncle Martin's house here. That's the little house. Oh, he lived right next to you.
Right here.
Did he live there or did you just use it as a storehouse?
He used to live there. That old Van Pestrikoff, his father-in-law built the cellar and the barn first.
Oh.
And I don't know how they built a house afterwards. He didn't tell us about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, the house was built by the Pestrikoff's house.
Yeah.
And it was funny. When old man Pestrikoff died, I said in the island, was home for a while. He says, gosh, I haven't seen anybody for a long time. I think I'll take a dinghy and stroll around the island and see if anybody's in the Barabara. He had a Barabara hunting. Barabara and the Ender Island, where I want my native land.
Old man Pestrikoff.
I remember where I told you I wanted.
Yeah.
That's where his Barabara was, where you found the burnt piece of wood.
The Barabara, yeah.
But that's where his Barabara. And when the old man Pestrikoff had been dead, I guess his dad didn't know that anything about it. But he said, I want to take a stroll around the island and see if I could see anybody. I haven't seen anybody for a long time. So he drove around the island and I couldn't go along because I was baking bread that day. I couldn't go along. So Dad came home with a real white, pale face. I said, what's the matter with you? Are you sick? I got something to tell you. We're not here alone. It's something very strange happened to me, but the old man came to say goodbye to me. That's why I had to go there. Something told him that he had to take a trip to see if anybody was part of the Barabara. When I got in front of the Barabara, I heard somebody chopping wood. Kindlings, calm, hear the kindling falling down, and boy, but was I happy I want to see somebody. And the kindling sounded so good and a calm, nice day, and boy, I was anxious to go see what's up there. And I went up to the Barabara, even not a soul there, it was cold, nothing was there. And he said, I looked around, nobody was around. I went back and the dory and started pulling again. And then I heard somebody up chopping wood way up in the woods. Then I went up there and I hollered and hollered. I heard somebody's making dory knees. And he said, it was strange that a soul was around. And he said, well, if I hear about it, then I, again, there must be something going on. So I went to the dory and started pulling, and I was pulling by Rubber Boot Point, towards Rubber Boot Point. I saw a dory coming from over there. And he said it was my brother-in-law. He was sent to McNeil's Island for good, for being in jail, and had yet confessed to the priest that he had done a bad thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him how the old man was. His father. He said that they buried him yesterday. Is that what said goodbye to me? And I told him my story about chopping wood and throwing knees on the island. The old man must have come to say goodbye to me.
Huh.
He died.
He died the day before, huh?
And his George Patrick Evans changed his name to George Evans.
Oh, the son who had to go to McNeil.
Uh-huh. See, somebody killed another man, and he was involved. So he confessed to the priest, and the priest sold him to McNeil's Island. He didn't give him confession. I mean, he couldn't give him communion because he had killed someone.
Hmm.
So he was there, put in for life. They asked him, how did you get out of jail? He said, because of a good behavior, and I wasn't old enough to know.
Oh,
he was a pardoned.
Oh.
Wasn't that a great surprise?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said, so the old man must have come to say goodbye to me. So that's why we are not here alone. There is somebody guiding us.
The dad said that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Was he religious?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of religion?
He's a Lutheran.
Lutheran?
Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's what happened. Oh, man, passed God.
He died. How did
but
he die?
I don't know, old age. When he died, he liked that.
Sounded like they were pretty close.
Hmm?
Sounded like they were pretty close.
Well, he built a cellar with a drain on it to the, and he dug a well. There's a big well right by the house, right from there. Water was real close by. The volcanic after, everything changed. And we had to dig another well somewhere else where the water spring. Lila tired. And this is a good story. I don't know.
It's great.
Uh-huh.
Wait, let me see. I want to know something about him. What was he like? What type of person was he? Was he clean? Was he, you know, what were his hobbies?
His hobby was sewing and making rugs and making wine for his girlfriends.
Oh!
And a bottle of wine for them.
For everyone, huh?
In summertime, he picked berries, all kinds of berries, and had a big oak barrel in the barn,
mm-hmm.
covered up. And he used to make wine, and then he made rugs and shawls.
Shawls, you mean to put around shawls?
For the ladies, and he always, that was his fancy job whenever he had nothing else to do.
He liked to make things.
Uh-huh. So, when he had a monkey from, he brought a monkey from California.
To the island?
Uh-huh. And he was sewing a sail for his sailboat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the cow had a calf, so he had to leave his sail work alone. And then would take care of the cow. And when he came back, the monkey had cut up his sail. And that's the end of the monkey.
Oh, my goodness. Do you remember the monkey?
I don't know. I was too young.
You were too young.
I didn't know nothing about that.
He told
us about it.
So he liked to sow and make wines, and he
was a good farmer. He read. His hobby was reading.
Oh, he read a lot.
Yeah, I guess he had every newspaper in the world that he could buy.
Oh.
He read everything that he could read. There was no telephones or anything, but he liked trapping.
Mm-hmm.
He caught a lot of foxes, and he went and caught them on traps. And he used to take a big coal oil can,
Mm-hmm.
A 5 gallon coal oil can.
A coal oil what? A coal? Coal oil?
Lamp oil.
Oh, lamp oil.
And he used to take the top off, and he would fill it up with water, and he put spruce, any kind of spruce, if he could find spruce to boil in there, and boil his traps.
Oh.
Everything so, and his gloves, everything in that water. So he never touched nothing with his hands so the foxes won't smell. And he had it all sainted with the spruce. He'd boil his traps and everything. And he put bait and stuff, and he caught foxes there. And he had a little fox island back with it, you know, Anchor Island.
Mm-hmm.
He put the live foxes there when he caught them alive and put them there. And in the fall, when the fur was good, then he shot them and skinned them. And he got a silver gray. He had $275 for a silver gray, $2 for a weasel, land otters,
mm-hmm.
$15, and then creole foxes, and red foxes, and he caught a lot of stuff, and he sold all the vegetable for 5 cents a pound. One day we went to Korea with 45 sacks of potatoes that we raised.
Wow.
They were $5 a sack, 100 pound sacks.
Wow.
For 5 cents a pound.
Did you sell them all?
I sold them all. Everything in the stores bought because they couldn't order stuff, you know, fresh stuff.
So did you... You can stop this. You can answer that. Go ahead. I'll put this on stop. Okay. Grandma, I wanted to ask you about the cows that you raised and how many you had and what you did with the meat and how you got them to the market and sold them.
Well, when the weather we had to watch the glass, the weather thermometer glass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If that went high, then he butchered. And you take a trip to a fog neck to have Uncle Martin or somebody to come. He never shot the cow, and he had somebody else shoot it.
How come?
Because he couldn't count.
Cute.
He had to always. And then they had to dig at their legs and their heads, give it to them, liver and hearts and all that, kidneys and stuff. Everybody got something for helping him butcher. Then he sailed into town where he sold there are three stores in the fog neck, the Sheely store, the Patellan store, and the Payoman store. And they all bought meat.
Hmm.
And then in New Zinke was O.L. Grimes, the storekeeper. And then in Kodiak was Erskine's and Kratz. Those were the only stores there were.
There were six stores then.
Uh-huh. So we could sell anything. And they bought off all our fur, they bought anything that had to sell. They bought it off.
Hmm.
So all the fur was high. Vegetables were 5 cents a pound.
How about the meat? How did you get it into Kodiak? You said,
We sailed with his boat by Mill Bay. There was no road them days. They had to take a boat, watch the weather, and go through little bay and to sail in to Korea.
Huh.
And that's why he put in for the road for Anton Larson Road, because if you didn't get your meat in time to be sold, it will get spoiled and you have to sell maybe 100% pickle.
So he asked the road he built?
1913, he walked the Bear Trail where the Anton Larson Road is.
So that was a bear trail?
That was a bear trail. And he had a .45 revolver, and Sarah had a 10-gauge shotgun.
For the bears?
Yeah, for the, in case they met a bear.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said they didn't see no bear, but they saw, on their way, they walked to the Abbott's Ranch where the base is now. The Abbott's Ranch had a big ranch out there to build. His father-in-law gave him all the money to build a beautiful place.
Abbott?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Abbott, she was a school teacher.
Hmm.
And she used to cook a beautiful dinner for us whenever we went. But anyway, Dad was praying. He bought some sheep from Abbott in 1913 with black-faced sheep.
Hmm.
And we raised them, and we sold our wool, and we sold all the meat we could sell. No problem selling.
You have to work. Did you work hard?
Yeah.
You always worked at that home.
Well, I wasn't working. The older people, Johnny and Sarah, were working hard. I was small.
Mm-hmm.
We had brothers. Mary was a baby.
So how did the road get built?
Children or somebody, but put in seed.
Papa
died in January.
He died when you were young.
He was 33. He was 71 years old. I was living in Kodiak, and my husband, Ole.
He died in 33?
Uh-huh. My father died from coming in. He had a heart attack by Goose Cape with the boat.
Oh, so you were 28.
I guess so, about 28. Uh-huh. But I was home here on the island. I'm in Kodiak.
You were in Kodiak.
Uh-huh.
With your family.
And the road opened that same fall.
Right after he died.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
The fall of 33. Papa never got to see the road.
Hmm.
That's how Anton Larson Road was built, for the Anton Larson homestead. We got the homestead patent August 2nd, 1932.
Wow, patent that was right before he died, too.
Yeah, uh-huh. And he said, now I'm glad that I can leave the place. I can stay there. I worked hard for this piece of land.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really the best place in the Kodiak Island, which it is. I think it's a pretty place.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Very nice.
Uh-huh. Well, I was pregnant with Martha. Martha was born in August. Papa died in January. My sister Martha died May 12th, that same year. Heather, my father died, my sister died, pregnant with Martha.
Hmm.
Ole was working for Craft Store.
Mm-hmm. How about when you were older? What do you remember about your father when you were, 12, 13, 14, 15?
He was all gone. We never saw him at all. He was always at the babysitter's, either Kodiak or Yuzinki.
He stayed in Yuzinki a lot.
Mm-hmm. We stayed raised in Yuzinki by the Pestrikovs.
Mm.
The Pestrikovs raised us.
Huh.
Sonia Anderson, and she was just like a mother to me.
Huh.
Johnny Anderson and the Yuzinki people. Get used to them. They were nice to us.
sounds like there are good people.
But then in 1917, Dad took us to Johnny ran away from home when he was 16 years old, my older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad, he went to his grandma in Helsinki, because he was getting to be a teenager, you know. And then Dad wanted to take him home. He ran away again, so he says, I'll fix him. He's not going to have his way. I'll send him to school so he's old enough to care of himself.
Uh-huh.
So he left rowing. They didn't have no motors. There was a hunting dog came by our place and a cod fishing by the end of the island, the big island there. Dad rode over to him and told him that he lost his son, Johnny Larson, had found his boat and that he's grounded or something, can't find his office. Sad, he lost Sarah last in February 1916, now 1907, March
8.
Wow. Now I lost Johnny.
Wow.
The guy just laughed at him and said, Johnny's in your zinkies, running all around doing mischief. Dad said, well, he rolled up his sleeve and
oh,
was
no.
all the work stuff.
Dad?
No, he wasn't mad, but he just said he's going to find out that anyway he's not dead. I'll fix him, he'll be old enough, he's a young boy, he's like the rest of us, you know.
Uh-huh.
He's sensible. And anyway, he rolled up his sleeves and made a cup of coffee. He's going to pull over to Helsinki in a tiny little skiff. He pulled over there. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Came back about 4, I guess. And then he said, Johnny won't come, but I'll fix him. I'll take care of him. He's not going to have his way. So we came home and took care of the barn, took care of the stuff in the barn, and was all excited working his left-handed swing, his left hand
left-handed?
Yeah.
Oh.
Left hand was swinging his hand back and forth, walking. Was he going to do it? Literally, son of a gun like him and play a trick like that on me. He found his dory, and we were looking for his body all over, and every night you're dragging, and we were all dressed up in warm clothes for a whole week.
You looked for him.
Yeah.
You looked for him for a whole week.
Yeah, and I think it was 1st of April, Dad took us all into Kodiak to be, we stayed with Johnny Ponchin's aunt, Mrs. Feeney. She took care of us in Kodiak. And Clara Halverson was also taken care of by her dad, Mrs. Feeney. But she wasn't there then yet, but Feeney was still alive, her husband, and he died, and they buried him 17th of May. The first time I seen a coffin, and I cried that that coffin has no windows.
Oh,
I was so, you know, I didn't realize what a coffin was.
Right.
I've never seen that coffin before.
You thought it should have windows.
It should have windows. And that poor guy, he had a laying in the French room in the Feeney's house, and red mustache, and the lice was walking all over his mustache.
Oh.
It must have been lice, huh? But anyway, we stayed there. And she took care of us. They had running water, cold water in the house. She was a clean lady. Everything was nice. It's quite nice sheets for us. It was a nice place. And Feeney and F. Feeney, they stayed not too far away from Craft Store. We knew every house in Kodiak at that time. And everybody was our friends, you know, at that time. Kodiak's changed now. But anyway, we stayed there, So one day, we used to put a bed in the floor, big feather bed on the floor, and she put white sheets on, double sheets on the floor to let us sleep on them. And we used to get bit up by bed bugs. Their house was so full of bed bugs. They had felt paper on the wall. They had felt paper on the wall. And one day they went out.
This is Miss Steenie's house?
Uh-huh. One day they went out and we, the kids, you know, mischievous kids.
Mm-hmm.
We went and we took a stove lifter and hit it and stole the house as we could to make a hole in the thing and poke where the bed bugs were to kill them. And we tore up the whole house. And there was paper all around. She was gone out of the house, you know. But when she came back, she was mad because we didn't. She said, I'm going to write a letter to Captain Larson on the Mini B that he got to take his kids away from here. She tore up my whole house, so she wrote. She said to call Tina Chernoff, her name is Mrs. Scholl now,
mm-hmm.
and she said to call her and write a letter to Captain Larson on the Mini B, take his kids away. And he tore up her whole house. So she had her bags all packed by the door.
How long were they by the door?
Well, that letter was in the evening when he came the next day.
Oh, he did?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
He died, well, when he landed to the cannon, he was a captain on the Navy to deliver fish and tender.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got the news, and somebody walked down to him and saw the Mini B to tell Captain Larson he's wanted to, you know, see his kids. So he came right away, and the bags were packed. And we were glad we were going home. We were made from the bed book.
So where did he take you to?
To Zinke.
Oh, over to the pest department.
Uh-huh, to Lizakoya and the Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
Pestrikov, that was his brother-in-law, too. She was a Pestrikov.
Oh, so you stayed with him for a while.
You stayed there. And then...
Did he get in trouble?
I'll tell you a story. The big people were not so clean as Mrs. Feeney.
They were even dirtier?
Well, they had lice.
Oh, no.
And... they had lice, and everybody had lice, everybody, I guess. And people had bed bugs and lice all around, but...
Oh, boy.
Anyway, we didn't see a bed bug with his head, so... And the way they were neat, and they were poor, too, and Dad had to bring groceries because they didn't have no money in there.
Hmm.
It was hard, so he had to furnish all the food for us.
So he helped pay for
the food. Yeah. He bought case lots and bought stuff over there.
Hmm.
So when he came over on the Mini B to Zinke, we cried. We wanted to go home. Is there lice there? Now the hair was full of nets.
Hmm.
It was lice so much we had nets all over our head. And we told Papa to look at our hair. Well, he says, I'm going to go to the Woody Island, bring him down, Washbrokoff, and you go back to the island, and he'll take care of you there. So, anyway, he said to the people that he's going to bring Ivan down, Washbrokoff, to the island next week when he gets a chance to go deliver all the fish and stuff. He got a tender stuff. As soon as he's able to, he'll take him over and put him over to the island. So, oh, we were glad we're going to the island, back home again.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, we never babysit nowhere else. We stayed home.
He stayed home.
Uh-huh.
Did, what's his name, Emilion?
Emilian was because.
Did he stay with you?
Oh, yeah. He shaved her hair, cut her hair, and
took care of you.
And he put, took care of wash our clothes and boil everything in a big, on top of the stove.
How old were you then?
I don't know what year that was.
But how old about were you? 12 or?
I think he's 17. How old was I?
12,
uh-huh.
And then you stayed on the island?
After that, I never left the island.
So what did you do out on the island? Did you have animals still?
Yeah, we had animals. He cut grass and
worked.
Took care of the gardens. The gardens were all done and they had to go back and forth to Petrikov, took care of Dad's place.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of fun did you have?
The same old thing, we used to go up in the hill and play with the ptarmigan little birds.
Uh-huh.
The island's covered with ptarmigans, with a cranberry. There's a cranberry island. People used to come over with picking berries and grovish cranberries. And she said it's crowberries. They put them in water and keep them for food in the winter. And the wine berries used to smell good, and the cloud berries. And oh, it was nice. All the time you were outdoors. Either playing with chickens or pigs or going back and forth to the barn and having fun that way.
And your father still worked on boats?
Yeah, he quit in 1922 for retired from the Menifee. He was in Kodiak today.
The Menifee?
Uh-huh. He's still here. He gave his job to George Magnuson's dad, Chris Magnus.
Did he ever marry again after Olga?
No.
He never did marry.
He said that one day he said in 1918 that he wasn't going to get married, but then he saw Irene Sargent. He had a date with her. He said he had a date with her in 1918 and saw her in the movie. She had a lot of silent pictures movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw her and then had a date with her to see her, and then she was dead the next day for the Spanish influenza flu.
But
he had a lot of women. He said he had so many drinks he was afraid to go to the drugstore to meet his date. He had too many girlfriends.
Was he handsome?
Yeah, they all liked the cat.
Did they call him the captain?
Yeah, the Captain Larson.
Captain Larson, huh?
Uh-huh. Larson. He would have been decorated when the base came off here, but he wasn't that. He didn't decorate himself.
What was his personality like? Was he,
he was, if he wanted something done, he was really grouchy about it. He wanted to get it done. Wanted to be getting it done. It had to be done like Lila.
picky.
He was particular.
Was he a perfectionist?
Yeah.
He was.
Uh-huh. Cool, clean. He had to be clean.
Iron clothes.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Fancy things.
And had to raise the flag sunrise and sunset.
Did he every day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Had the flag.
What happened to his journal? Oh, it got lost in the fire.
Uh-huh.
What happened to his journal?
Huh?
What happened to his journal?
I didn't know. Everything burnt in the house, and they had all kinds of stuff.
What fire was that?
The house burnt down from a stovepipe. Johnny was there in 1946.
Oh, that was after you were married?
Yeah, and you were living in town.
Oh, and everything burnt.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
They had a power door. My sister Martha and I, we did the cod fishing. The first case of codfish gear. the 200 hooks on them.
Is this
after 1919, he had a tender bed, a Mary G.
Uh-huh.
And that took off from work. He went cod fishing.
Did he go with him?
No, he stayed home. The tender came to our place. And we had to split the fish. First, Martha and I had to row. We didn't have no engines then.
So you and your sister fished. Contest.
First case of codfish gear.
In 1919?
Yeah, 1919. The boat Sitka came over to our place to see Dad, his first cousins from Norway, the Stamnes, in Orleans, where his family.
Oh!
They came to see Dad, to see that they heard he was in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
So they give Dad some 4 skates of codfish gear from the fishing boat. And Dad gave him rhubarb and all kinds of vegetables from the gardens.
Hmm.
They exchanged,
They traded butter.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And they were glad to see Dad was 60 years old then.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they were thinking that he was a real old man by that time.
Oh, they were, huh?
No, they were surprised. Yeah. Ingwell and Sverre Stamnes and Papa's first cousin on his mother's side.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
So they traded.
Yeah, Dad gave them all kinds of stuff. They had lots of good stuff with his chicken eggs. And
so you guys could cut this?
Yeah, we got 7 cents a pound for cured codfish, bag of them and bundles and stuff. And there used to be the fishing boats, they used to be coming over the Pilgrim and another boat used to come over and anchor in our bay. There was people are in Old Harbor now.
Mm. Oh, Christiansen?
No. They are. What was it?
Hawkinson. Oh, Hawkinson.
Uh-huh, they were fishing too.
Oh.
And we used to go ashore in our place, and we used to have Edison phonograph and play the phonograph and dance a little bit in the
mm-hmm.
with the music
mm-hmm.
and play cards. Martha and I, all the fishermen come in. They had 9 o'clock to tell them they have to leave 9 o'clock.
You told them?
Yeah, you can't have them company after 9 o'clock.
Whose role was that?
Right?
Whose role was that?
My dad told us to tell the people.
Uh-huh, that they had to leave by 9.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Well, and they were nice to us, and they all respected us
mm-hmm.
because we were nice to them.
Yeah. So, what do you remember the most about Andrew?
And I had to take care of the barn. The Dr. Parker from Whale Island used to come over. He was, whenever Dad butchered, he had to come and grade our meat. We had the A1 grade beef. And we had A1 grade rutabagas. All our vegetables were A grade.
Wow.
And Dr. Parker used to be the veterinarian. Mm-hmm. He taught me how to take care of the cattle. I could take the gas out of a cow and she's bloated up with gas. By feeling a certain little spot by her ribs, you stick a knife and get the gas out.
Oh, wow.
Otherwise, you lose the cow. We lost one cow, but she ate some.
Because of the gas?
Yeah, from lady eating a low. If the cow eats lady slippers, she'll be bloated up with gas.
Mm-hmm.
That's poison.
Hmm.
And lady slippers used to grow right where Gordon Jensen has his little house that he just beat five lands, you know, he'd walk. Mm-hmm. Over the cattle wood. That's where they got the lady slippers. We lost one of our Holstein, mm-hmm. nice big milk cow.
Mm-hmm.
told you, work 9 hours morning and evening.
Oh boy.
Well, there's a big cast. Maybe that's why I had TB glands in my neck.
Yeah.
I had so many operations on my glands. And when I was having children, I think I worked too hard.
I think so, too.
So
what do you remember the most about Anton? Or what?
Well, he was gone most of the time.
He was gone a lot.
But
yeah.
We had to have, even now, Rostrikoff and Pestrikoff's come to the island, make haystacks.
Mm-hmm.
We got bounty for eagles for 50 cents a cross. Because if the sheep had a lamb offside, lamb, they pick up the lamb, and there was a bounty for Judge Wickersham for the territorial.
Yeah, he was the delegate.
Uh-huh, delegate for the.
Well, I thank you.
Uh-huh.
I think we'll end the interview now unless.
Yeah, good luck in your life.
Thank you. You too, Zalma.
Bye-bye.
You said, okay, Grandma, there's a story about
Grandpa's
teeth.
Well, he said he was going off. He used to pull his teeth. He loosened his teeth by hand for a while, and then after he got the tooth loosed, and he tied it up real to support or to pay weight, and he tied a big rock at the end of the of the line that he fastened his tooth in, and he climbed up on top of a barn that was a little on the roof that was, didn't have a roof on, and no, I don't know, I could see it on the picture. I don't know, see that.
It didn't have a roof on it.
No, he put a roof on that after that. But anyway, he threw a big rock at the end of the line, and he climbed up the building, and he threw the rock down, and off went Zoot.
He pulled his own
teeth. And then one time I went over by the barn, and I sat in the corner of the barn. There's lots of rope and lots of teeth on it. He said, leave them alone. That's my teeth over there. We never touched them. We always walked by them. So he had a whole pile. Never went to the dentist. He pulled his own teeth. He didn't pull any of ours, just his own.
I wonder how he got the molars out.
And anyway, he got his teeth out. And one day he decided he's going to go and get some false teeth. So there was a dentist there, so he went up there and you asked him what he charged for the teeth, you know. And he wanted $100 now and $100 afterwards. So he charged him $200 for his teeth. So, and when he got his teeth, they didn't fit him right. So his left-handed dropped on the floor back and forth, shaking his left hand. His lots in his mind. He cheated him with all that money that he's paid for his teeth, and it just like a horse teeth. I'm going to go back and get my money. He's not going to fool me around like that or charge me so much. And always say, come on, and have some sourdough hotcakes and bacon here, and could you grind her some? Teasing him. Oh, he got mad, and he got mad at something. I'll go get my money back. So he went up. Oh, the dentist, he wants his money back. You know, the horse teeth, he didn't. And then the man gave him his money, the dentist gave him his money back. But then afterward, after the dentist got through with him and dad went home, Then he ran over to the lawyer next door.